Hello, and welcome to the Resilient Life podcast. Resilient Life is part of peakprosperity.com, and it's where we focus on practical and actionable knowledge for building a better future. I'm your host, Adam Taggart, and today we welcome back Adam Trexler as our guest for the program. Adam's the president of Valorum, a very interesting company that we've profiled over the past 2 years. Valorum has introduced an entirely new way to own and hold gold. Using a proprietary technology, it injects gold directly onto a polymer surface, creating a note coated with gold, which they call an aurum. Dimension-wise, it's very similar to the dollar bill that you carry in your wallet. Basically, it gives you the ability to store, carry, and transact or share fractional grams of gold with other people. Our previous podcasts with Adam have gone deep into the technology behind producing the aurum, as well as the growing interest around the world for such a portable form of gold. They've also been some of our most popular podcasts ever. So if you haven't listened to them yet, you really should. The story of the aurum is fascinating. Today, we're going to talk with Adam about the progress Valorum has made over the past year. Is this new form of gold catching on? He's got some exciting updates for us, including the launch of the new 2016 Peak Prosperity Aurum Note. Adam, thanks for coming back on the show.
Adam, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It is always fun. Well, let's dive right in. For the few people listening who haven't yet listened to our earlier podcasts with you, can you very briefly summarize what the purpose of Valorum's Aurum Note is?
Absolutely. So the Aurum is a new way to hold gold. And if you think about the historical forces involved and take a step back, over the last 40 years, gold has gone from a cost of about $40 a gram to well over $1,000 today. The result of that is that traditional coins and bars that have been used for 3,000 years to hold gold are simply unaffordable and not very useful in today's world. The supply of gold has not increased at the same rate as the number of people who want to own gold has increased. And as a result, we need new technologies to make physical gold affordable and usable and holdable by everybody.
Great. And Adam, I just wanted to interject here. You mentioned pricing going from about $40 to $1,000. I think you mentioned gram, but I think you maybe mentioned to mean ounce there. Is that correct?
That's correct. So that's per troy ounce. And we, as an international company, tend to describe our products in terms of grams. But of course, it's just metric and imperial.
Great. Great.
No
worries at all. Maybe it's just worth spending a second describing, the form of the Aurum Note and all that.
Sure. So, it feels a bit like a plastic sheet. It's fairly sturdy, but very much flexible. And it's actually, it feels like an integral thing, you know, like a single sheet. But it's really a miracle of material science. And the reason for that is it's composed of one layer of flexible polyester. And then in that layer, or on top of that layer, there's a very precisely controlled layer of 24 karat gold. Printing also goes in the middle. And then there's another layer of polyester on top of that. So effectively what you have is a gold sandwich, with polyester as the bread and gold as the meat or cheese. And it makes it possible to have a very precise amount of gold in a small quantity.
Great. And, you know, from a form factor, it is pretty much the same size as, you know, a U.S. dollar bill, maybe slightly different in dimensions, but basically can easily fit in your wallet right alongside your $1, $5, $20 notes. One of the things that I like about it is that level of convenience. It doesn't require any behavior change on behalf of the person who, you know, is already carrying currency in their wallet. If they want to have a little bit of gold in their wallet, right now it's probably a little bit more of a collectible or a curiosity. But if we ever got back to the day where people were exchanging precious metal for everyday transactions. They wouldn't have to change any of their behavior in terms of how they carry their money around with them. And for those who've yet to see it, you'll see pictures on the website accompanying this podcast. The fractional amount of gold that are used are enough to make this thing look like gold. I mean, it has the sheen, the luster, the color. It looks just like gold, except it has that flexibility that you talked about because of the polymer.
Absolutely. And what you're seeing is the gold. The polyester we use, one of the, dozen characteristics we had to select, and we do use a proprietary polyester, is that it has a very good optical quality. So one of the advantages of the aurum is that you're really seeing all of the gold, or a very high percentage of the gold. And there's another advantage of gold in this form, which is that if you have a bar, there's a lot of material that's hidden in the center of the bar, which makes it possible to counterfeit it, to have something that's gold coated.
Right. Everybody always worries about getting a fake that's gold coated, but it's got tungsten or something inside of it. And you're saying here, you're seeing the entire surface area, and there's really nothing hidden beneath it because it's, such a fractional amount of gold.
That's right. And, there is, it's theoretically possible to have multiple layers of different material. To do that, it would be highly cost inefficient, and it makes cheating on this kind of product much, much more difficult than cheating on a bar or a coin. So the confidence that somebody can have in it should be much higher.
Right. And I know in previous podcasts, we've really gone into the technical elements of production and everything from security to counterfeiting and all that stuff. But I do recall you saying that it is relatively easy to test these as well for authenticity to make sure that it's not a counterfeit material. Can you just briefly speak to that?
There is. We're actually talking to a new firm that's interested in making a device for this that is off, that would allow you to test each individual one. Probably the easiest thing to do is a fire assay, and a jeweler would have the equipment to do that. So basically what's done is that there's a two-step melting process. The plastic, the remaining chemicals from the plastic are pulled off, and the gold is perfectly recoverable. And we would never make a product where you couldn't recover the gold.
Great.
That you have to be able to convert it to other uses for it to still be a commodity product.
Great, great. And I don't want to, go back down as far into the weeds as we have in previous podcasts, but obviously the intent of the aurum is to be an exchangeable amount of gold. But if you did decide that you wanted to melt it down for its spot value, you can, correct? Mm-hmm. You can just put one of these in a heated crucible and you end up with a little, tiny ball of gold, correct?
That's correct. Like I said, it's a two-step process. You need some borax. And if anybody's really interested in that, I'd be happy to talk to them about precisely how to do it. But it is a bit involved. If you just burn it up, that doesn't quite do it.
Right. Well, it doesn't seem to make a heck of a lot of sense to me, too, because you would only, really melt something down to exchange it for something. And these notes are in such a sort of ideally exchangeable form. I'm not really sure what you're getting by melting it down, but that definitely gives people some peace of mind to know that if they wanted to, they easily could melt these things down. All right.
Right. I have two things to say. Sorry. I just wanted to interject two points about that. The first is that we believe this is a higher value form of gold than a melted pellet. And in the same way that you would never melt down gold eagles to make a piece of jewelry. The gold is too valuable in that form, in addition to it being a sovereign currency. You want gold coin has a natural premium over melted gold, and the aurum certainly fits into that category.
Completely understand.
Yeah, we see that.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you talk to dealers, I mean, they if you walk in with a sovereign, gold eagle, they know what it is. They've got a high degree of confidence in it. They can, inspect it very quickly and make a decision whether it's authentic or not, and they know they can sell it to somebody. Where you walk in with a misshapen lump of gold that you've melted down, and they've got a lot more concerns based on that. So, everything in the aurum, to my understanding, is that it's sort of hyper standardized. And so, if you walk into a dealer with an aurum who's familiar with the aurum, they're very quickly going to know whether it's authentic or not.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, since we're sort of on this production theme, I know that one of the big bits of news that you have since the last time we talked a year ago is that you've made a number of important production improvements that I believe have allowed you to create bigger notes. And by bigger notes, I mean a greater amount of fractional gold, as well as maybe being able to offer better pricing. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Well, this is one of our great success stories. When we first did our first podcast, we were just really starting to sell the Aurum, and we created a tremendous demand, or we saw an incredible demand in the marketplace for gold in this form. It was so great that we overran our original productive capability, and really had to go back to the drawing board and look at every step of our process. And of course, speed, production speed, and production efficiency go together. And as we've worked on it, we've worked very, very hard on everything from printing to how we put the metal down to the processes, eliminating several steps. And we've really been able to drive down the premiums. One of the things we found just very recently, in the last 3 months or so, is we were doing a bunch of R&D about what are the physical limits of what we're able to put down. And originally, when we first started, we thought it was closer to a 20th of a gram. Then we brought it up to a 10th of a gram, and now we've found ways to have something that's 250% thicker and indeed bring the premium down quite a bit again, maybe by 40%.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, and one thing that's not immediately obvious to people is that when you pour a coin or pour a bar, or stamp a coin, pour a bar, there's not necessarily a premium based on the size of that thing. With our process, we are depositing the gold atom by atom in a vacuum chamber that's about equivalent to deep space. And the result of that is that you have very high machine costs. These machines have not been around nearly so long as 2,000 years of stamping coins. And a lot of that process is dependent on how thick it is. So our costs don't go down based on having a higher denomination or a higher weight. In fact, we're spending pretty linearly that much more machine time. So to bring the cost down and have a heavier weight are both significant achievements from an engineering point of view.
Well, that's
So
great
I'm
to
very proud
hear.
of our engineers.
Good, good.
Yeah.
And I know when in our previous podcasts we've had some education to do for folks. If you do the math, the fractional gram units of gold have a much higher percentage premium than buying an ounce or fractional ounces of gold. And it's actually the natural math curve as you go down in terms of the smaller the increment, basically mathematically, the higher the premium to spot has to be in terms of the effort that's involved in manufacturing. And what's interesting is that's true at the gram level, meaning the premium is higher on a gram level than it is on an ounce level. But what you're saying here is once you get to the level at which you're dealing with, it's actually more expensive for you to manufacture something or it's less costly to manufacture something that is a smaller increment because of the machine time. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Yeah.
So for us to manufacture a tenth of a gram is certainly cheaper than to manufacture a quarter gram.
Okay.
But the flip side of that is that having a process that involves this kind of atomic deposition is just vastly different than making a tiny coin.
Right.
And people do need to understand that.
But the fact that, basically it sounds like, since we started talking, 2 years ago, it sounds like you've been able to get that, the cost associated with the premium down around by about 40%, you said?
I would say 30 to 40% over the last year, and we probably cut it in half the year before that. So we've really been working hard on that. Of course, those don't add up to 80%, but sort of half and then half again, or something close to that.
Well, I
We
think this
just work
is
very hard to. What I'm focused on is delivering value to our customers, and
right,
I
and
think that
that's what I was
that
just about to
really opens
say.
up the market.
Yeah, that's what I really like, because one of the hangups, valid or not, has been, people looking at the premium to spot and saying, wow, it's a lot higher than what I pay, for an ounce level. And again, we've done the math for them. There's clear mathematical reasons why the smaller you get, the higher the premium goes. But it still is a high mental hurdle for some folks, and the fact that you're working so hard to get that down as low as you can, especially over such a short period of time, with the progress you've made, is really impressive. And to me, it really speaks to, how important it is for you guys to, address whatever, hurdles people have to getting comfortable with this new form of gold. So, anyways, kudos to you guys and your team and what you guys are doing. To me, I just hear that and I think, wow, a great option for gold holders just became even greater. So.
Well, I really appreciate that. And my real aim is to democratize gold ownership. I want to see many more people owning gold. And what I see is that gold will continue to become more expensive relative to paper currencies. It's a limited commodity. And this will become more and more important as a vehicle for precious metal ownership. And I want to make that available to people, and I want to pass on whatever we're able to do to create value to the people who would, be our customers.
Great.
And
Well,
that's what I see as my job.
let's shift gears here then and follow that vein. So, we've gotten kind of detailed into the production aspects of the product, which I think are really interesting and they're important for people to understand. But at a higher level, I think we see the world similarly in the sense, as you said, gold is a limited commodity. There really is no upward bound theoretically to fiat currency. And certainly what we've seen over the past 7 years is that central banks have been pretty unchecked and fearless in terms of how many or how many trillions of paper monetary units they're willing to create. I guess digital is probably even a better word at this time. But
Both,
basically,
actually.
yeah.
One fascinating thing, if I could interject, is that we tend to think now about currency and currency innovation in the digital space. And that's both public and private. We know that governments have been creating digital dollars. And we also know that a lot of innovations like PayPal have been in that digital space. What I find really fascinating is that one would expect that as that digital currency expanded, physical currency would contract, i.e., they would not need to actually physically print paper dollars, paper pesos, paper what have you. The opposite is actually the true is actually true, and the quantity of paper currency has been rapidly expanding too, not quite at the same exponential levels, but I believe there will always be a need for a physical currency. And it's just not going anywhere. In fact, it's becoming more entrenched as we have a digital world because you need both physical and digital.
Right. I'm sure, especially too, when you talk about democratizing gold, you could see some of the more advanced Western nations, if we move to a digital dollar era, or if, I don't think this is going to happen, but, Bitcoin becomes the coin of the land in a country or whatever, if it's an advanced Western country, maybe everybody does get their own sort of personal, digital dollar card that you're able to use for payments, the way that, people can use their SNAP card here in the US.
Sure.
But that's going to take a long, long time to get into the majority of the world's countries. And in a lot of those countries too, given the price of gold on an ounce basis, it's pretty hard to own gold when your family's making a couple of dollars a day, in terms of household income. And the great thing about the Aurum note is that you're creating it in such small fractional units that it's actually just a couple of dollars. And you can have that family that's basically kind of doing more or less subsistence living, but if they can scrape up $10 worth of savings, they can actually own some gold, which is something that is just sadly just too far out of the realm of the possible for them today.
I think that's right. And what I'm really interested in is having a standard storage of value that's exchangeable from people of very high net worth down to people who are at a subsistence level. And what I think is distinct about us is having that physical gold tangibly in your hand. And as that becomes a recognizable means of storing value, it becomes very useful to people. It's easy to find a deal or to get value back out when you need it, but also have a means of diversifying what you're holding.
Yeah. So I gotta then go to where we ended our last podcast on, which you kind of gave us a really interesting tease about a sovereign central bank that you said had contacted Valorum and was working with you guys to potentially, and I guess this was quite serious, replace their country's fiat currency with an Aurum based note. And I think that would have essentially made them the first country in the world to go back onto the gold standard in terms of its monetary system. Is there any update you can tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I do want to clarify something. I think what would happen in the first instance is that you would have an Aurum note sitting alongside paper notes, and effectively people would be able to choose, do you want your money printed on gold or do you want your money printed on paper? And I think that that would be the first step for a country. Now, to answer your question, that's kind of a fascinating and sad story. We were working with a central bank. We're actually still in conversation with them, and actually two more as well. And when I say in conversation with them, all three, we've met with the head of the central bank and having very high-level talks with them.
Okay, so you've
What
actually
happened
had
with the
in-person meetings with the heads of the central banks there.
Yes, and the country that I was talking about last year, Valorum representatives and myself, I think, had nine total trips there. So no, this was we were very, very close to doing something when we spoke last year. And what I saw, or what happened was the economy of the country in question fell apart. And I'm sure all your readers know about what's happened to the price of oil. You had a country that was very exposed to the to commodities prices. The price of oil dropped. Gold dropped a little, but nothing compared to oil. And it really tanked the economy. And suddenly you had hundreds of billions of dollars of shortfall on the government. And I had a conversation with the governor of the central bank where he said, yes, we're going to do this. Didn't get to a signed contract. And in the meantime, the price of oil fell apart. And the whole deal fell apart because suddenly they were printing paper to pay their shortfall
To cover the
and
shortfall.
effectively
Got it.
devaluing their currency. Yeah. And so you went from the possibility of a hard money product to, the most painful kind of devaluation of currency overnight. And it was sad for me to see because I saw it as a real opportunity both for the people of the country and the country itself. And we will, I believe we will have a country do this and then a number of them. But sometimes you're witness to enormous forces, and the price of oil, I think, is an enormous force, certainly for a company the size of Alarm right now.
Sure. And, you know, the collapse in the price of oil over the past year has been, historic. So bad timing, I guess. You said in addition to that country, though, you are talking to two others as well?
We are, and have put in formal proposals, and I think it will work. It's something that a country can benefit from. They can take a strategic advantage. It's something that is likely to be very popular with the public, and we're eager to help wherever a country wants to use our services.
Okay.
And in that case, we would be acting as a private mint. And a lot of countries actually have private currency printers or coiners, you know, mints that provide them with the physical currency, but the government would be the issuer of the currency.
Okay. And when you're having these discussions with these other central banks, what are they listing, you know, from your perspective, what are the biggest draws of getting out of the fiat game, if you will, and going back to a precious metal-backed currency? And I love the Aurum because it's not really a precious metals-backed currency. It's a precious metals currency. You don't bring it in to exchange it for anything. It is what it is. But what do you see as the central bank's, you know, kind of primary motivations here? Because it's a big risk for them, I imagine.
Well, it is and it isn't. When you're making money, literally, you're making money. Traditionally, one of the main roles of a government was to mint coin. And there's a necessary natural markup over bullion, so raw silver, raw gold, when you turn that into coin. And the government of countries, you know, England, for instance, made money by minting coin. And so people would, you know, private citizens would bring in bars of gold, bars of silver, and they would get coinage back. And this is a way for a country to effectively make money. And at the same time, the public likes it because they have currency that has an intrinsic value. And I think there's a real hunger throughout the world for more coinage. And I could point to a couple things about that. One of them is that even when the price of precious metals has gone down over the last couple of years, the demand, the public demand for coins has actually gone up. A lot of the price pressure has been from electronically traded funds where people were speculating on gold or silver, or not mainly people, mainly, you know, large market makers. But the general public demand for coinage has only increased, and that's very, very interesting to me. The other interesting statistic I point to is the U.S. state quarter program. I think if you check your pocket, you probably have quarters with states on the back of them. This netted the U.S. government with $3 billion. And what that means is that 12 billion extra quarters, and actually it was more than that because, of course, they had some costs, 12 billion quarters disappeared from circulation because people wanted to hold them. People were excited by the idea of having quarters and not just a bank balance. And, you know, I have some, and I suspect a lot of our listeners will too. So there's just this incredible demand for something that feels physical, something that feels tangible. And as it becomes something with real gold in it, I think that will be even more in demand by the public. And we stand to be servants of that force.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if we have any listeners that are listening from Argentina or Venezuela, you know, I'm sure they're saying, yeah, I wish we had had this circulating in our economy over the past couple of years. Because, you know, when you mentioned earlier when the initial country that you were talking with, the deployment would likely be to have a side-by-side Aurum type of note as well as a domestic paper currency. You know, I would love to see that, just to see a physical manifestation of Gresham's Law in action. And Gresham's Law, for those that aren't familiar with it, that says basically, bad money drives out good money, meaning when you have competing forms of currency during times of trouble, people hoard the types of currency that they have the greatest faith in, and they want to get rid of the bad currency or the currency they have the least faith in first. So the currency that tends to really circulate is all the bad currency, and the good notes or the good forms of coin or whatever are the ones that basically disappear. So it'd be interesting to see, how quickly, these Orem notes kind of get hoovered up by the population, and how they, basically demonstrate that they prefer the precious metal currency versus the paper one. At least that's, of course, how I think it would go. But it'd be interesting to see in real time, in a real world example, what really happens.
I think that's actually very right. I think that the public would tend to very much collect gold notes. And look, if I have a $20 paper bill and an Orem in my wallet, given the chance to spend one on keeping the gold,
Right, exactly.
it's simple rational decision. Particularly if they have the same face value. Of course, the Orem that we sell now do not have a denomination at all. They're not $20 or $10. They're simply the weight of the gold. We're not a government, so we can't say this has a face value. We simply say what gold is there.
Okay. You talked a little bit about the demand for coinage that we're still seeing in the world, and quite frankly, growing demand. I think the big part of that too, at least that we pay attention to here at Peak Prosperity, is the imbalance of demand for coinage coming from Asia versus the West, and how we're seeing a lot of our coins and bars basically fleeing over there. But I'd like to ask real quickly, over the past year or so, have you seen any change of interest from the dealer community, the coin dealer community, in terms of the Orem product? I know when we first started talking to you, it was very new. You were really just sort of doing some pilot deployments, and we were fortunate enough to be one of your early partners there. But are dealers beginning to wake up to this, and you beginning to see any support from them?
They are, and it's really exciting. We've actually done better in Canada than the United States just from a series of accidents. We've had some really great partners there, and the Orem is more available in shops there. One of the things that's been interesting is that I think that dealers have tended to focus on melt value, and I don't necessarily think that's a healthy perspective. I tend to be more interested in the spread. So melt value, for just as a quick brush up, melt value means what can you get for a coin if you basically destroy it and extract the raw gold. Spread means what is this coin, what can this coin be bought for, and what can the coin be sold for. I don't think that the best use of an Orem is to melt it. I think the best use of the Orem is to sell it, hopefully to a dealer or another interested party. And I think that there's a sort of educational process in the industry where we need to understand that we shouldn't be melting coin, we shouldn't be melting Orem, we should be creating real value for consumers by having a good spread for them. So in addition to that, though, people do want to make sure that there's a good amount of gold or silver there, and as we've been able to bring down the premiums, I think we're going to see us entering more and more markets. And what I'd really like to see is that you can walk into any sort of any town's coin dealer and be able to buy Orem. And as we're able to do that, it really makes the value of the product much greater as people know about it, as dealers know about it, as they're more and more comfortable that there's a ready market for it. And that's really what my focus is going to be over the next year in terms of that bullion market, is growing that. So I'm very interested in having local dealers, I'm very interested in national dealers, and we just want to create a broader network for this product.
Well, you're making me think of something in real time here as you're talking. The role of a gold dealer, broker dealer, Basically is to give their clients access to precious metals in the forms that these people want to hold it. Part of that is them clearly knowing the standards that are out there and being able to buy and sell gold and silver with confidence that they're indeed getting what they're buying in terms of quality and whatnot, and authenticity. As new forms come on the market, I'm sure there are some guys that are, early adopters, but I would probably imagine the majority of folks, they're not really too enthused to take a risk on buying a new form that they haven't really seen before, unless they're hearing from their customers that it's what their customers want. I remember bringing in some Aurum to my local coin dealer, and for sure it was the first time he had seen anything like it, and definitely caught his attention. This is where I used to live, so I can't tell you for sure if he's offering Aurum in his shop today. But we've had a number of people, hundreds of people at least, on Peak Prosperity who have bought Aurums in the past. That'd be an interesting idea for them to consider, walking down to their local coin shop with their one of their Aurums in hand, and just showing it to the person there and letting them know that it exists, and getting their feedback from the dealer. But we as an audience of Aurum holders might actually be able to kind of help goose the adoption there by just letting dealers know that this is a form that we find kind of interesting. And again, if it's not on their radar already, at least putting it on their radar for them to consider. Because my guess is having the brokers become aware of the demand will certainly help them, more easily make the decision to type of stock this. Is that, am I thinking clearly here?
Well, I just really appreciate the thought. I think that's right. And the more people know about it, the more useful it becomes, the more of an option it becomes for people. And if Peak Prosperity, the Peak Prosperity audience wanted to do that, then I'd be very grateful. And I think it would help the dealers as well. Having the products that people need is important for anybody who owns a store. And we're just very happy to work with anybody who is reputable and wants to make our products available.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and I think, at a minimum, we're one of our listeners to go do that. You'll at least have an interesting conversation, no matter what comes out of it. I think you'll have an interesting
Definitely.
conversation with your dealer about what they think about this new format. I should say too that Peak Prosperity does not have any sort of business investment in Valorum. We don't, own any of the company. We don't participate in its upside. I'm simply just a big fan of what they're doing, and so ideas like this one, we're not promoting it because we think Peak Prosperity might gain in any way. We just think it's a good idea. All right. Well, that said, we talked about brokers. I'm just curious too, as we're coming to the end of our time here, have you had any, I guess since we've talked, which was about a year ago, has there been any material feedback or insights just from regular retail users? Are you seeing a growing demand for this product or for products like it? Like, what are you actually hearing from the real people?
People are just very excited about it. Now, we're really cultivating a loyal following, people who are buying them every month, which is really nice to see. People, I'm excited to be on here and talking about the quarter gram. I think that's a huge story. I think that having roughly $10 of melt value is very cool. And I think people are very excited about that. And I love talking to effectively our audience. And if you call up on a given day, it's very likely you can get through to me. I'm pretty accessible. And I'm just very grateful for the people who've been following the story from the beginning, and I think it's going to continue to grow.
Well, it's a great story, and just to sort of give everybody a background on the interconnectivity of things here, I found out about Valorum because a participant in our annual seminar at Rowe Mass, shameless plug, we've got one coming up in a couple of weeks, I think was an early advisor to you and the company, and he handed me an Orem at the Rowe seminar, and I thought it was really cool. Of course, came back to California and then called you and learned at the time your production facilities were in the town over from me, which was just a real interesting twist of fate. Yeah, I think it really is just kind of, word of mouth getting out for, that a solution like this exists. And then, of course, the people who are interested in this type of thing will hopefully continually gravitate it. All right, so you mentioned in particular that the 25th gram note, the new one, is big news, which I totally agree. So we are having a new Peak Prosperity Orem note that's been designed for 2016, and I believe it is now available for sale. Is that accurate?
It is. It will be up as soon as this podcast goes up.
Fantastic. So for
And I really love the design you guys came up with.
Thanks. That's largely kudos to Jason, our designer, and he's done the previous two Orem notes for 2015 and 2014. And I know we have a number of folks who have bought the previous two and might want to have this one for to complete their collection. And the difference between the previous notes as well is that this one is going to be a 26th gram, sorry, 25th gram note. So it's going to be a bit thicker, a little bit heavier melt value, as Adam was talking about. All right, so yeah,
Oh,
we'll have
sorry,
a
just to jump in there really quickly. It's a quarter gram, so it is 250 milligrams, but yeah,
Great.
or
Sorry, a quarter.
250% the thickness.
You're right.
Quarter
Sorry,
gram, yeah.
quarter gram. Quarter gram. I've been misspeaking here. Quarter gram.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a 1/20th gram and a 1/10th gram, and now this is going to be a
Right.
1/4th gram or a quarter gram. Thank you.
That's right.
So we will have a link to anybody who's interested in learning about how to get their hands on that Orem. That link will accompany this podcast. Yeah, and just in closing, Adam, thank you so much for giving us an update as to where you guys are. Continue to be a big believer in what you are doing. Think the movement to democratize gold is an incredibly worthy mission. I hold a number of Orem myself. I carry a few around in my wallet all the time. It is a wonderful conversation starter for the value of a precious metal backed currency, and I find no matter how often or how much I can, verbally tell people about it, it's when I actually pull the Orem out of my wallet and let somebody hold it in their hands and look at it, that makes the biggest impact. There's just something that's very, authentic, it just carries a lot of weight, it has a lot of gravity when you put that shiny, lustrous Orem note in their hand. Their eyes go wide and they just really begin to kind of get it. So,
Right.
anyways, hope many more people begin to discover this. I really wish you well on your endeavors with the central banks. Please do keep us in the loop. Would absolutely love to cover this. If and when you've got some big news about entering into one of these monetary relationships with an actual sovereign country. It almost sounds too fantastical to actually happen, but I've got my fingers crossed for sure. So wish you all the best there.
Me too.
Last question is whenever we do one of these podcasts, there's invariably a lot of comments. I answer them as best I can. But I'm just an intermediary for you. If people have questions
Sure.
about either the Orem notes, about Valorem as a company and its mission in general, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you? Should I just put a link to valorem.com up on the site and people can contact you through that?
Absolutely, and I'll give you a good email address for that too. And I reply to about half the emails. I'm just very interested to talk to people, and I think it's important that people understand about what this is. And I view my mission as educational, so I want people to understand exactly what we are and what we aren't, and let them make their own informed, rational decisions.
Oh, fantastic. I really
So.
appreciate you making yourself so available too. All right. Well, with that, Adam, we will hopefully connect people with the new 2016 Peak Prosperity Orem to the extent that they want it. And I am sure we will be talking to you again in either about a year or maybe sooner if you've got some big news in the interim.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Adam. I really enjoyed this.
My pleasure, Adam.